This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Jose Roas tweets in, and I'm not sure why this isn't all caps, but it is. Wrong again. KD is definitely the best player in the league right now. In interviews and whatever else that's not actual basketball related has nothing to do with this title. He may not be as liked as Curry, but so what? Well, yeah, you could be the best player in the league without being liked. That's fine. And the interviews and stuff does not take away from him possibly being the best player in the league. What I said was he seems to want to be the best player in the league without what comes with being the best player in the league. Because he's never going to be truly comfortable with that crown if he's not truly comfortable with everything that comes along with it. And right now, he's not. I also don't know if he's definitively the best player in the league. You know, I still will give the hat tip to LeBron James until it's officially proven otherwise. I think LeBron's been the best player in the NBA since about 2005. So from 2005 until now, that is... Damn, that's 14 years. So if you've held that title for roughly 14 years, at least 10, I don't think anybody could argue that, but I would argue 14 years. I'm not going to just take it from you because you got hurt and your team missed the playoffs as a result. You know, we'll see what happens next year. But it's also very possible that LeBron has finished his reign at the top of the game because he did get hurt, because he is only getting older, and we are seeing these other guys emerge. But the problem for Kevin Durant could be that he missed his opportunity in that case because he would have easily been the next guy in line, and he still is probably the next guy in line. But all of a sudden, you've seen the emergence now of Giannis and Harden, and those guys have a legit claim to the best player in the league title if it's not LeBron anymore. The way they... Giannis is a monster, man. Defensively, he's playing with such force on the offensive end. He's terrifying. And James Harden is so skilled. I mean, people got to get over any of their hating it. That is a bad dude. That is a bad, bad dude. You know, everybody knows what's coming. And he's still getting it done. So to me, that's a subplot of the remainder of this postseason. Can KD actually snatch that crown? Is it possible for KD to fully snatch that crown playing on the Warriors? Is it even possible? I mean, because you're still... have your own fan base going to say Curry is better. I mean, it's pretty clear to me who the five best players in the league are. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, James Harden, and Steph Curry. Then you got some other great players too, but that's to me the top five.
Where do you have Anthony Davis in this mix?
Somewhere between 5 and 10. I mean, again, he's another guy who's going to be hurt by what happened this year. It doesn't make him less of a great player. It makes him less, it makes his perception worse at the moment. But yeah, he's somewhere between 5 and 10. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Chance in South Carolina. Chance, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. Is Kevin Durant the best player in the league?
Okay, Rob.
What up?
I think that LeBron's still the best player in the league because, as I think you just said it, he got hurt and his team didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They would have made the playoffs if he wouldn't have been hurt. If Kevin Durant gets hurt, do the Warriors still make the playoffs?
Yes.
And so I think that, I mean, that you answered, I mean, the Jose Reyes or whoever it was that just tweeted in and got all mad about it. You just kind of answered that question for him. But as far as it goes for everybody else, I think that Golden State would still make the playoffs without Kevin Durant.
No doubt.
LeBron's still the greatest player in the league right now. And I think when the torch gets passed,
it's either going to be – I think it's either going to be Giannis. But like you said, I think Kevin Durant, man, missed his chance. I think he had his chance maybe if he would have stayed in Oklahoma City. But I feel like as soon as he went to a super team that, you know, your individual award or individual, you know, recognition as a player, it kind of goes away because you're on a super team.
Well, not just I mean, when you say super team, I want to make sure I clarify that because super teams have existed throughout the history of the NBA. It's a falsehood to say they have not. Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish was a super team in that era. Magic Johnson, James Worthy. I mean, even though he was aging at the beginning of that, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that's a super team. For that era. Shaq and Kobe, super team. Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, super team. Tim Duncan, Kawhi Leonard, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, super team. LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, super team. Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, super team. Super teams have existed throughout NBA history. But there's never quite been anything like what Kevin Durant did and the Warriors. The Warriors were a super team before Kevin Durant got there. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, super team. They won more games. This is a fact. They won more games than any team in NBA history that season. And then KD joined them. No other super team has ever been that super. And that's the reason people had an issue with it. It's not comparable to anything else. I know people like to say, well, LeBron went to Miami was a middling team when LeBron went there. Yes, did he join up with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade? Of course. Did they make a super team? Of course. I'm not naive, but it's not the same thing as... Was he the MVP that year? Going to the 73-win team? If it wasn't, it was the previous year. I mean, going to a 73-win team after losing to them in the conference finals. The 73-win team added an NBA MVP. That's absurd. 855-212-4227. Is Kevin Durant finally the best player in the NBA? Or did he miss his chance to be the best player in the NBA? Justin in New Milford, Connecticut. Justin, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Justin?
How you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I'm a big Yankee fan, Jet fan, Celtics fan. So I want to just talk about the Celtics and, you know, and Anthony Davis. I understand.
You can talk about Anthony Davis in a second. I'm just curious how that happened. How were you a Jets fan, Yankees fan, but also a Celtics fan?
Growing up in the 80s, a big Jet fan when they were 10-0 in 86 before Gasol and Klucko went down, big Yankee fan. And I just like Larry Bird, the rival over the Lakers. I rooted for the Celtics, and I've been a fan ever since.
Okay, cool. I just was curious because New York and Boston you don't usually think of as, you know, going together that well.
that's one thing I don't like when I'm watching a Celtic game and I hear the chant, Yankees stink. That's one thing I don't like. But they're different sports. They're totally different sports.
Okay, go ahead.
Listen, I know how dominant Anthony Davis is. He's more dominant than Jason Tatum. But I do not want to trade. I will trade anybody on the Celtics. I am not giving up Jason Tatum. I just think this guy is a full package. And I know Davis is going to be more dominant. But I just think you're going to get more out of Tatum. He's younger. And what do you think? Would you get rid of Tatum to bring Anthony Davis in?
Well, I think the Celtics are going to play hardball in that sense, and they think they, you know, I don't think, here's what I'll say. I don't think the Celtics have the best trade offer if they're not including Jason Tatum. It's also hard to get rid of a guy like Jason Tatum, who's a young player, came up with your team. Tatum did not have a particularly good year this year. In fact, all of the guys from last year had a down year. If I were re-ranking them, I would put Donovan Mitchell at the bottom of that group. He's had a really rough year from an efficiency standpoint. Tatum did not have the kind of year step forward that you would expect after the playoff run last year. and he kind of lived off that playoff run a little bit for a big portion of this year. But since the playoffs have started, he's actually started to play better. So that's to his credit. And then Ben Simmons did just not address the weaknesses in his game. Ben Simmons is far too talented to be a liability in any way. Far too talented. And that's something he needs to address going forward to fully realize his potential. You know, I was happy to see Ben Simmons play the way he did the other night against Brooklyn, respond to the criticism and the trash talk, respond to that. I was happy to see that. I also don't think it's a coincidence it happened in a game Joel Embiid didn't play in. You know, the Sixers are not better without Joel Embiid, but Ben Simmons is better without Joel Embiid. You know, Embiid is a player who needs to play slow and takes up space. And Simmons is a player who needs to play fast and doesn't space. So they don't really go together that well. You know, it's a good problem for the Sixers to have, if you will. But you've seen Ben Simmons play his best basketball both last year and this year when Embiid isn't around, because he can pick up the pace. You can surround it by shooting. And that's how you'll get the best version of Ben Simmons without Joel Embiid. But whether he's playing with Embiid or not, he has to work on the rest of his game, particularly the jump shot. He's just way too good to be a liability in any way. There's a little bit of a tangent off of the Jason Tatum point. If I were a Celtics fan, I'll put it this way. If I were a Celtics fan, I wouldn't want to trade Jason Tatum, because you've drafted him, you've seen the playoff run, you like him, all that. It would make it difficult. From the outside looking in, it's a little bit tougher call to make, because just on talent, you'd have to value Anthony Davis, and I don't think the Celtics can put together the proper trade package without Jason Tatum, or else a team like the Lakers' trade package, in my opinion, is better if you're not including Jason Tatum. 855-212-4227. Talking some NBA playoffs. Kevin Durant will continue that coming up next. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Talking some NBA. Talked a lot of baseball and hockey in a way on today's show. Some basketball right now. And next is Ken in Baltimore on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Ken?
Robin, good morning, bud. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
All right. We're going to have a little slight disagreement with you.
That's always okay.
You know, when you talk about super teams, I've been going to NBA games since the early 70s. I don't consider Bird and Jordan and Magic, all them. I didn't consider them super teams. I consider them great teams, because those teams, to make them super, then you added... If you added the second best player in the league to that team, one of those teams, then you make them invincible. And that's what Golden State did. Golden State, to me, was still beatable if they didn't add Durant.
Oh, well, I mean, they were beat that year, right? I mean, and in fact, yeah. The Cavs team the next year was better than the Cavs team that won the championship.
And I agree with that, Robin. So what I'm saying is I wanted to see that matchup. But, of course, how were they going to beat them once they got Durant, the second-best player in the world? So, you know, like, for example, Bird and them would get beat by Milwaukee, or they would get beat by Philly, or Philly would get beat by Boston, or Philly would get beat by Milwaukee. The Lakers got beat by Houston and Ralph Sampson. So I didn't call them super teams. I would call them great teams.
Well, I don't think you're disagreeing with me, though. What I'm saying is that the Durant-Warriors situation is different than any other in NBA history. But I do consider those other teams, they were super. I mean, when I say super teams, they had multiple all-stars on the same team, right? I mean, like when you say the second best, you could argue Scottie Pippen was the second best player in the league during Michael Jordan's heyday, and they were on the same team.
But those teams could get beat. You could hardly beat Golden State before they got Durant, which is fine. But what happened is once you added him, they become basically invincible.
Sure. You're not disagreeing with me. That's what I'm saying. Okay. You just have a different, choice of words or how you want to label it.
Yeah.
But you're not disagreeing with the point.
Because when I was listening to you, when you say super team, I'm thinking of a team that basically can't be beat. And all those teams back then that you mentioned were beating each other. And I know that they wasn't beating series 4-1. I know the Lakers with Magic Johnson used to have a hell of a time with Dallas.
Sure, but I mean, the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe went 15-1 in one playoff run. And the Jordan's Bulls, you know, they won 3 in a row, and then they won 3 in a row again afterwards. So, I mean, they were winning a lot. The how many titles did the Lakers and the Celtics each win in the 80s? 3? So they were winning plenty of championships. The Heat won 2 championships out of 4. They lost that first year, obviously, to Dallas. So I think my point was that there've always been super teams in the NBA in the sense of multiple all-stars or superstars on the same team, but there hasn't been a team like Golden State because you took a team that was already a super team and added Kevin Durant. You took a record-breaking team and added Kevin Durant, and that was different than anything else that had ever happened. Not against the rules. They did it fairly, but their team became unfair. Let's go to Simon in Dallas, Texas. Simon, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Simon?
Hey, what's up, Robin? Love the show, bro.
Thank you, man.
I have a comment when you said about the ratings is affected because of LeBron. To be honest, my opinion, I think it's affected more because of the bad matchup that they have. You know, I mean, who thinks Utah is going to beat Houston? You know, who really thinks the Clippers is going to beat Golden State?
But doesn't that happen in the first round nearly every year? I mean, like, this is not just a playoff thing. It happened during the regular season, too. And one of the big spots where the ratings were down was the 8 p.m. national time slot, which was occupied by the Cleveland Cavaliers a lot.
Yeah, but, okay, so say, for example, next year, the Lakers go to the playoffs, but the Warriors don't. You think that's not going to affect the rating? So it's not specifically because LeBron's not in the playoffs. It's just because there's some really, really bad matchups this year.
Oh, no, I think it's the biggest reason is, look, last weekend was affected by Tiger Woods as well. But I think that absolutely the easy, you know, Occam's razor explanation is the lack of LeBron James. What's the explanation that requires the fewest numbers of assumptions? LeBron's not there. He's the biggest needle mover in the history of the sport, essentially. And he's not there. The one series where the ratings are up or the same is the Warriors series, because the Warriors are the other needle mover. So you're missing the Eastern Conference needle mover. I think it will improve as the playoffs get along and the matchups get better. I'm with you there. I think, you know, Rockets Warriors is going to be a great, fascinating series. I think if the finals is, let's say, Bucks Warriors, you would see a lot of interest there to see what Giannis can do against them, and I think the Bucks are the real deal. But I think clearly one of the reasons, if not, you know, if it's not the sole reason for the ratings being down this season and in the playoffs is what happened with LeBron this year.
Like you just mentioned in the East, okay, as bad as the Cleveland team was, everybody knew that they were going to go to the final. But this year, since he's in the West, you can't sit here and say if he would have made the playoffs that they were going to go to the finals.
No, you couldn't say they would go to the finals, but they were. I mean, people forget, despite the roster misconstruction and everything, they were sitting at 4th in the West and blowing out the Warriors when LeBron hurt his groin.
Come on, Robin. You way too smart to say something like that. How many teams have beat a good team?
That was 100%. What did I say? What I said? Wait, no. There's nothing you can argue against what I said. What I said is the truth. They were sitting at 4th in the West and in the midst of blowing out the. I didn't say they were going to beat the Warriors in the playoffs. I said they were sitting at 4th in the West and in the midst of blowing out the Warriors when he got hurt. True or false?
They could have beat the Warriors three times. That doesn't mean that everybody really would have thought that they were going to beat him in the playoffs.
But that's not what I said.
Well, that's what you're trying to say.
But no, my point is, the whole West, I don't think the Western Conference thing, look, there are a couple things that were the undoing of the Lakers. One, is poor roster construction. But the easiest, two, with the Anthony Davis trade obviously factored into their mentality. They've said as much, or the non-Anthony Davis trade. But the biggest reason is LeBron got hurt. LeBron doesn't get hurt, they're definitely in the playoffs. He missed a quarter of the season, and when he came back, he wasn't the same guy. You know, like, duh. That's what happened. Otherwise, they were playing very well. They were in 4th in the West and climbing when that happened. And he happened to suffer the worst injury of his career. You know, and when I talk about the ridiculous standards, he's the only guy I've ever seen, you know, like, punished for how durable he's been. You know, he's been so durable for so long that when he gets hurt, it's you know, extra bad. And he gets no leeway on coming back. He's got to be back. Because it looked like he came back early. It looked like he came back early and just wasn't ready. Wasn't right yet physically. Now, is he ever going to get right physically again? It's a reasonable question. It's a reasonable question given his age, given the mileage, you know, the minutes played, all that. But the reason, number one reason of, you know, there are others. There's always more than one factor. But the biggest factor to what happened to the Lakers this year is LeBron getting hurt on Christmas Day.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. Here's something I threw out during the break in the other room. If you're the Sixers, do you contemplate trading Joel Embiid this summer? I know that sounds crazy. Sounds crazy, because that dude is a monster. He is a force. But Ben Simmons is at his best without Embiid. The Sixers are better with Embiid, but Simmons is better without Embiid. And unfortunately, I really hate to say this, but the injury concerns remain. And that's a that's something. I'm not saying they should for sure, but I wouldn't just summarily dismiss it. Let me ask my next guest, because I respect his opinion, fan of his work, Tommy Beer, NBA analyst for NBC, Roto World, Basketball Insiders, Forbes. That's a lot of credits there, Tommy. Yeah, how many you gonna make? How many commas and another place I gotta read?
I think you got them all. You know how it is, just trying to hustle and keep some checks coming in somewhere.
No doubt, man. Well, what do you think of that? Like, it was just a random thought I had, but do you think it would be insane for the Sixers to consider trading Joel Embiid? Because I think the Sixers are clearly better with Joel Embiid, but Ben Simmons is clearly better to me without Joel Embiid, and you're dealing with this now history of injury problems, unfortunately, because Embiid, it's such a great player when he's healthy.
It's definitely a very – I hadn't thought of it either. Fascinating question. Some interesting thought experiment. I guess it would all depend on what you could get in return. If a team was willing to give you value for Joel Embiid, I'd certainly consider it. But I'm assuming you'd have to take back, what, 70 cents in the dollar, 60 cents in the dollar? And at that point, the upside of Joel Embiid is a top 5, top 10 player in the NBA. So I'd have a difficult time passing up that type of talent unless I could get something really promising back. I understand where you're coming from and the fact that you kind of build your offense and your franchise around Ben Simmons. But I would just have a problem watching Joel Embiid flourish somewhere else if he could stay healthy.
Well, on the flip side of that, some of that responsibility has to go to Ben Simmons, right? Because the biggest reason, you know, the I don't think they'd ever be a perfect fit, but the biggest reason the fit is awkward. And I say that in the, you know, acknowledging the Sixers are really good. But to be the best version of themselves, the biggest reason it's slightly awkward is the lack of the jump shot from Ben Simmons. I mean, at what point, you know, the guy's an excellent player, but he's too talented to be a liability in any way. At what point is that almost negligence on his part?
I totally agree with you, Rob. It is a fascinating case study. He's just such a freakishly unique player, especially in today's NBA, that just the predominance of three-point shooting is prevalent throughout the league. And I was looking at the numbers yesterday. There's only 4 players in the league that have dished out at least 1,000 assists this millennium, so dating back to since 2000. There's only 4 players in the league that have dished out more than 1,000 assists and not made a single three-pointer. Shaq, Zaza Pachulia, Joakim Noah, and Ben Simmons. Those are the 4 players. So it's just, and to think about, you know, that's a point guard that has an ability to take over a game as we saw in game 3, but just his inability to even attempt a 3-point shot, to not look to improve it in the offseason is somewhat mind-boggling. I agree with you.
Do you think they easily close out that series against the Nets? The fact that they won game 3, does that close the door there?
I think so. I mean, the Nets obviously needed to win that game without Embiid. We'll see if Embiid plays game four. The Nets were a pesky team. They've been kind of playing that us against the world card the entire season. So I expect them to come out with some force and some fire and some effort, and certainly make it an interesting game four. I wouldn't be shocked if they won game four, but I do expect the Sixers to win the series, if not in five, then six games.
Robin Lundberg talking to Tommy Beer, NBA analyst for NBC, Roto World, Basketball Insiders, and Forbes here on CBSSportsRadio.com. You know, I've really developed a bit of an affinity for the Nets. You know, living in New York for so long, and part of me wanting to be a Knicks fan, but then seeing ownership the way it was, and then the Nets dig themselves out of that whole. I say Sean Marks was tasked with emerging from a bomb shelter and rebuilding civilization after the trade from before, and they really had no fan base. So to see them get out of that situation, look like they've got the proper management going forward, and finally sort of create a bit of an atmosphere, I think has been a really impressive feat, and I now take them seriously going forward. How about you?
Absolutely. I think you have to give a ton of credit to Marks and Kenny Atkinson, obviously, for the kind of the culture they instilled. Like yourself, born and raised in New York, eager for the days that we can cover meaningful basketball games beyond February or January, for that matter. So it's I definitely welcome the resurgence of the Nets. And I think that's the key point, to come out from that arguably the worst trade, not only in basketball history, but sports history, but to come out the other side and have a competitive playoff, you know, battle-tested team, I think is a great credit to both Marks and Atkinson. And hopefully the Knicks will, you know, be able to bring in some guys this summer and get it to develop a legit rivalry, because the city certainly needs it.
Do you think, when you talk about bringing in guys this summer, do you think the Nets are, you know, because I think the Nets actually make a lot of sense for Kevin Durant. They would give him, you know, he's just plug and play on that team. All of a sudden, they're contenders in the East. You add Kevin Durant into that roster. They would give him New York without some of the baggage that might come with the Knicks. Or do you think the players in the league, you know, only think of the Knicks as the viable spot? You know, because it's a weird thing, because the Knicks have been the event, and Madison Square Garden is the place, and definitely the box office. They've just dealt with the management issues. How do you think the players view that?
I would assume it's on a player-to-player basis. It seems like KD and obviously his business partner, Rich Kleiman, is attached to the Knicks, you know, a Knicks fan growing up in Manhattan. So it seems like there's a little bit of a pull there from the KB perspective. But yeah, I totally agree with you. If you could switch the Nets roster and their management structure and their ownership and place them inside Madison Square Garden, I assume KD would obviously prefer that mix of players. You know, the only other issue with the Nets is they're going to have a little bit of a tough time creating enough cap space. Right now, they'd probably be in the low 30s. They might have to, you know, non-tender Hollis Jefferson in order to get, you know, because it sounds like KD wants that max. He's going to, you know, $38.1 million is the initial starting annual salary. So the Nets, assuming that they re-sign D'Angelo Russell, which obviously would seem like a no-brainer at this point. Well, I guess it depends on how much he demands, but it probably looks like they'll have to give him the max. Which is kind of the consequence of being a competitive, good team this season. But yeah, it seems like, you know, from the players you talk to, that the Knicks are obviously the preferred destination. It'll be very interesting. But all it takes is one player, you know, one quality player to view, you know, the Brooklyn as a at least comparable, you know, especially when you consider roster and management, et cetera. So it'll be very interesting to see. But my guess is that the Knicks would obviously be most players' first choice.
Would you give D'Angelo Russell the max?
If you would have asked me, you know, 6 months ago, I would have said no. If you asked me 3 months ago, probably not. I would still probably – I think there's a lot of players with a comparable skill set in the league that you could find similar to D'Angelo Russell. But I have to give him credit for playing in that environment, proving that he can do it in New York with the Nets, with that roster as currently composed. I probably would bite my tongue and kind of clench fists. But I think at this point, he's kind of forced the Nets' hands. I think he's earned a max contract.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, part of it is the intangible aspect of it. A franchise that didn't have a face or an atmosphere got one that got a guy that created it. And then you also have to consider he is 23 years old, right?
Yeah.
So this probably isn't the best version of D'Angelo Russell we're going to see, and it's still pretty good.
Absolutely. And he embraced that challenge. You know, he came off a somewhat down year last year. He really, you know, it sounds like he put the work in, put the time in, stayed healthy this season. And as you mentioned, he's, what, 2-3 years away from really scratching the surface of his prime. So there's a lot to like there. You know, obviously was highly touted coming out of Ohio State. So, yeah, again, I don't think it's a no-brainer, but I think it's probably a decision they're going to have to make.
Robin Lundberg talking to Tommy Beer, NBA analyst for NBC, Roto World, Basketball Insiders, and Forbes here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, let's shift gears to Kevin Durant for a second. I was critical of Durant earlier this week, basically when he skipped out on the press availability, not because I was offended on behalf of the media, but it just seems to me like Durant wants to be the best player in the league, but doesn't want what comes along with being the best player in the league. But the simple question about him right now is, is he currently actually the best player in the league?
Nah, I'd lean toward Giannis on Antetokounmpo. When you consider the all the things that he can do on both ends of the floor, you know, 6-7 years younger than Durant, I'd probably have KD 2 or 3. You know, but I, as far as best player in the league at this current moment, I'd go Giannis.
What about where do you factor in the LeBron factor there? Because to me, the way I put it is like, you don't lose the title by disqualification or count out, right? Like, you got to be pinned or submitted. And while it's very possible his reign at the top of the league is over, very possible considering the minutes played, the age, the injury, it's also very possible he's still the best player in the league because he looked like the best player in the league in December.
Great point. You know, it's funny that the fact that he's, you know, that out of sight, out of mind really is, I'm as guilty as any is to be a prisoner of the present. But you're right. It's coming off the injuries and, you know, the fact that he is 34 years old. But we got to remember, this is a guy that averaged the triple-double in the finals, the last finals that were played. He was just beyond reproach in terms of his dominant capability. So I'd certainly have LeBron in the top three. I'd want to see him. And I'm personally of the belief that he's going to have a huge year next year. I don't know when the Vegas odds will come out about who will win MVP next season. But I'm going to put a bet down on LeBron because I just think he's going to be motivated. You know, he's never been one to shy away from hard work. He's going to get in the gym. He's going to be determined to play 82 games or, you know, how many ever games next season and prove that he's still at the very top of the list. So I think he's definitely in the conversation. So I definitely would have him in that top three. You know, obviously you can't go wrong with either him, KD, or Giannis at this point.
All right. The last thing I want to get into is the Warriors and the, you know, foregone conclusion. They're going to win the championship the last few years. This is the first year where I at least think there's at least an inkling of doubt because, you know, Houston has played them so well and is playing so well at the moment. And I'm also becoming more and more of a believer in Milwaukee. How many teams do you think actually have a chance to win the championship? I would say it's those three, Warriors, Rockets, Bucks.
I have the Bucks coming out of the East, but I don't think that they could compete with the Warriors. So I do think that they would. I do think the Rockets are the only team that can knock off Golden State. I think if you put if the Bucks do advance to the finals, assuming the Warriors are there as well, 24 years old, you know, Giannis in his first game on a big stage, Budenholzer coaching, you know, in his first finals against a team that literally can, you know, has done this day in, day out. You know, just I think that experience level, there's nobody on the Bucks roster that just has that type of mentality and that has the type of experience that does play a part, you know, your first time at a dance. But I agree with you. The Rockets are just an interesting – it's just a fun question. I think that second round matchup with Golden State is going to be fascinating. On the flip side, unlike the Bucks, the Rockets have been there and done that. You know, we know about them being up 3-2 in the Western Conference Finals last year. Obviously, assuming Chris Paul stays healthy, they're playing with a ton of confidence. They're just shooting the ball so well right now. James' problem is just something that the rest of the league can't.
You
figure
call him
out
James' problem, James Harden, yeah.
But he is a problem for anybody trying to guard him. So yes, I do think that I've always been of the thought that the Warriors would cruise to a title, and I still certainly obviously assume that they will.
But I certainly wouldn't be shocked at this point, considering how well the Rockets are playing, considering with the confidence they're playing with. They seem to be really set and comfortable in their approach. And I think that's kind of in the Warriors' head a little bit, that this team's scary. We don't want to fall down behind 3-2, et cetera. Should the Warriors, get in a little bit of a hole? Will there be a little bit of sniping between Durant and Draymond Green if they see the kind of the end of the dynasty in the offing? So I think it'll be a fascinating series.
All right, Tommy, appreciate the time this morning, man. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for having me, Robin. Be good.
855-212-4227. How many teams have a chance to win the NBA championship? Is it just one? Is it Golden State? Is it two? Golden State and Houston? Is it three? Golden State, Houston, Milwaukee? Some other team? 855-212-4227. How about Ryan in San Diego? Ryan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Robin? And hey, I want to say thanks for having such a great show. As far as the teams that can win the championship, it's definitely got to be Golden State, Houston, even though I definitely don't want Houston to win it. And as far as the LeBron stuff goes, man, it's actually been kind of refreshing that during an NBA game, not every 15 seconds is about LeBron. Don't get me wrong, he's the second greatest player ever, but it's been kind of nice that it's about the present, not LeBron.
Oh, I made that exact point last week, Ryan. I think LeBron's the greatest player ever. But I also said I think it's healthy for all of us that he's going to be gone for a bit, because it almost become unhealthy and insane the way he was talked about, to a point where we weren't even dealing with reality. We were just dealing with this craziness around LeBron all the time. So going cold turkey for a bit, I think, could help everyone's perspective, both when it comes to how we view him going forward and when it comes to viewing the rest of the NBA.
Yeah, I'm with you, man, and that's definitely a good take. And I want to switch gears and see what you thought. So
I got 20 seconds before a hard out, so you got to be real fast.
All right. Hey, I live life like no football fan should. I'm a Cardinals fan. What do you think? Could the Cardinals actually keep Rosen, draft Murray, and just let them fight it out? Or do you got to get rid of one?
I'll give you my opinion on that coming up next, because it is a topic going on right now, and whether the Cardinals should draft Murray because they already took Rosen. I'll respond to that after the break. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.